All right, Payne.
Got him. Astros win it 6-4. They have taken the first two games from the Tigers. 8-5 last night, 6-4 tonight. And Blummer, the Astros continue to play great baseball here at Steichen Park.
Yeah, they do. Good job. Todd Callis on the call, Space City Home Network. Astros go for the sweep today against the Detroit Tigers. That would be something, man. It's, you know, it's interesting. The good teams, you know, San Diego had the best record in the National League when they came in here, a couple weeks ago. And the Astros, yeah. I think, if I remember correctly, took 2 out of 3 from the Padres that weekend. They've played pretty well against good teams of late. That's been nice.
It's a reality check for these teams, Sean. Yeah. You know what? There's an up-and-coming team in Major League Baseball. Their name is the Houston Astros.
They're called the Houston Astros. Yeah, right. Hell yeah.
Which was for me, my memory isn't so great, and I didn't even know you were allowed to lose in the first round of the MLB playoffs.
But it was very strange last year. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's bottom of the barrel in my estimation. But this is a different Astros team. This is an up and coming squad of scrappy youngsters.
Spitfire is what they are. They're a 50 legged Spitfire is what they are.
They brought in a couple of veteran winners to teach these kids how to win. Teach young Altuve how to win. You bring in a Christian Walker.
Yeah. Yes. I love Jose Altuve. And Jose Altuve, you know, hey, we need you to move to left field. No problem. Hey, how about another? Jose Altuve actually suggested bumping down to number 2 in the batting order and moving Jeremy Peña up. This was Jose Altuve before yesterday's game meeting with the media. If you're looking for about 30 or 40 seconds as to why everybody loves Jose Altuve, this is it right here.
You know, everything I want to do is just, you know, first for the team. You know, I think if I don't perform, I don't help the team. So I think everything about the team, you know, playing left field, playing in second base, some games, everything I'm doing is because I really want to try to help this team. And you know, if Joe, like, for example, today I'm playing left, but tomorrow I might play second, you know, I don't really care. I just want to be in the lineup and ready to play. I was just looking for, like I said, those little extra 5 seconds coming from whoever I'm coming from, and, you know, trying to make the team better. I think we have a great team. We have a great opportunity again to go to playoff. We're facing really good teams and really good pitchers, but you know, we have the talent here, and I think we can do it.
When you combine everything, Seth, when you combine the elite performance in just the most crucial of situations, the overall accomplishment throughout the course of his career, stuff like that, where at age 35, you know, is the highest paid guy on the team, he's still like, yeah, I'll play left field. Yeah, I'll bump down in the order, whatever it takes for the team to win. I don't know that any player is going to take the amount of unwarranted vitriol that Jose Altuve took in the aftermath of the sign-stealing scandal. There'll never be another Jose Altuve. Like, enjoy this while you can. There will never be another one like him.
Yeah,
there will be other athletes that are revered, that are team guys, but in terms of the stature, physical stature, the unlikelihood of a guy 5'6" or whatever doing the things he does, he is a unicorn, both play-wise and off the field.
Well, and I think that, you know, we were joking about bringing veteran players in, et cetera, to teach these young guys. It is a very much a different team in so many respects than they were during the golden era, but looking back on it, I'm kind of glad that they went through the beginning of last season, because if you're going to hit a reset without actually tanking or what have you, there's a resetting of expectations and, you know, where you are and where you need to go. In last year, they had to fight through a really, really miserable stretch of baseball, but then they saw that, okay, if we just stick at it, then we can be a much better baseball team than we are. So I think that in a lot of ways, the way the offense has started out this season, they're probably more, they've been hardened a little bit. Mm-hmm. Then they understand that just it's that you can just keep fighting through it. I mean, look at Jeremy Peña, if we take when he first crossed the Mendoza line, which was on April 12th, he lifted his batting average up to 200 that night.
Okay.
Since then, he's hitting .322 with an .825 OPS.
Yeah.
And he's had an incredible streak of just however many consecutive games with a hit in each game. He broke that, but still, it's a lot. That's where I, as a fan, I'm certainly less I'm less dramatic about exactly where they are offensively right now.
Yeah.
It helps that Christian Walker has really started to show his power some.
You and I were at spring training for a week, and obviously we're talking all Astros that week. And I remember multiple times. I don't want to put words in your mouth. I just can't remember what your overall take was on it. My feeling was that this was as good and had a chance to be a better team than the one that got knocked out of the first round of the playoffs last year. Mm. And through the first couple weeks of this season, I don't know that I felt that way. I know they had a better record than last year's team did at that same stage, but obviously, ultimately, that team last year from June on wound up being one of, if not the best teams in the American League, at least in terms of their record. Their overall record, they won 88 games, but they were a better team in the second half than they were in the first half. Where are you right now with this team? Do you feel like this is a better team right now than last year's team?
I think just because of the way the pitchers have been from the very beginning.
Yeah.
That alone, yes, makes me feel that way. And that with the veteran players like Christian Walker and Paredes, their slow starts, it's a lot easier to write off right now their slow starts to, okay, the classic what we see in baseball all the time, new guy in a new environment. Some guys like Bregman thrive in it, we've learned, and other guys it's not so much. But that part of it, yeah, I feel way better about them right now this year than I did last year.
I do too. And yeah, and the pitching, I mean, the pitching is light years better. The pitching was among the worst in the league at this time last year. Now they're among the best in the league. Yeah, I do too. I feel like the stuff that they're doing that is that, you know, the stuff that's winning them the 16 games feels sustainable. You know?
I liked it. And Gusto had a miserable first inning last night, but fought back and ended up, you know, being just fine. The fact that he and Wisniewski they're doing what we've already seen so many times in the last decade is, all right, we're going to get the best version of these guys while they're with the Astros. And I don't think I stop even chiding myself anymore when I get excited about a promising pitcher early in the season, mm-hmm. if he's coming from somewhere else, because yeah, that's what guys tend to do with the Astros.
Yep. Text message. We're still getting texts from previous topics in the 8 o'clock hour, the 100 men against the one gorilla. If you missed it earlier, Seth and I went through a list. Somebody, there's a content creator out there named JP Hovey who listed his 100 people, and a lot of Houstonians were on there, like Brian Cushing, Andre Johnson, and Aziz Alshire. So we still have a lot of you texting in really like educated takes. Like as a former zoo worker, I can definitively say that a male chimpanzee is much more dangerous and terrifying than any gorilla.
Yeah.
So the chimp is,
chimps are more hardwired for aggression, as I understand it. Correct me if I'm wrong, zookeeper.
Yep.
Zookeeper Ted, that's what I'm going to call you.
Zookeeper Ted. Yes.
Yeah, like chimpanzees are, they're vicious, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I know like their whole social structure and everything is a whole lot of just even amongst themselves, you're getting together your own little band of fellow chimps to take on the alpha and everything. They plot and scheme, and they're just nasty.
Was the documentary you remember the documentary?
Wasn't it Chimpanzee Empire or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah. Those were chimps, yeah.
I couldn't watch it. I had to stop watching. Well, Brandy had to stop watching it because it was just too violent.
They all had names. Yeah, they were like chimp wars. I mean, they like battled with other tribes
of
chimps. Yeah,
but physically mano-e-mano. Or is it Amano? Whatever it is.
Yeah.
One-to-one, though, Zookeeper Ted, it's like a properly motivated gorilla is still way scarier than one individual chimpanzee, isn't it?
A swarmy gorilla, you know, like a gorilla that really loves the fight, you know?
It feels like, it's kind of like with lions and tigers. Like, an individual tiger is scarier than an individual lion, but lions as a group, because they hunt in packs, are scarier just because they're going to, If they set their mind to it, they're going to figure out a way to get you.
I had a conversation about this thing with somebody yesterday, and my thing was I would never obviously be part of the 100 people unless forced to going against the gorilla. But my advice to the 100 people actually equipped to go fight this creature, possibly, would be for one of them, while you have the gorilla down, if you're able to get him down, would be to get your finger in there, scoop the eyeball. Scoop the eyeball.
If you just get one guy latched onto the back of him, and that's why I went with a horse jockey.
Yeah.
I've seen very few people suggest a horse jockey or a bull rider. Is get somebody on there. Probably a bull rider would be best.
Yes.
And just get him on there and gouge the eyeballs.
Scoop that eyeball. Get that thumb in there and just scoop both of them out of there. And now he's blind, and then you can just walk up to him and just start kicking him in the limbs and hitting him. You know, just it's... I mean, it'll take a while, but
yeah, the all look of all the mammals walking the earth, we are by far the feeblest.
Yeah,
we didn't get to the spot we're at by relying on our physical prowess.
Correct.
Know,
yes,
like we can study and learn and you know, attack weaknesses in a way that a gorilla, who frankly, you can't prep the gorilla for this fight. You could tell him about it the morning of it, and he's not going to know what you're talking about.
Nope.
You know?
Nope.
He's just he's not going to be sitting around thinking, you know, day after day, like, how am I going to attack this human being? Exactly.
Gorillas, yeah. They're not coachable. You know, they're just not coachable.
That's why we ended up taking care of the Neanderthals back in the day.
That's right.
They couldn't hunt in groups like we can. They were just they were limited in the ability to communicate and coordinate.
Yes.
And we sent them packing. See ya, Neanderthals. Yeah. Now we take on another ape, the gorilla.
That's right. It's why we're awesome as a species. Not all of us. Like David Schwimmer, you suck. But other than,
awesome is subjective, you know, depending on whose perspective. But
right. That's what
the Neanderthals, they didn't think the same. But from our standpoint,
I like us.
Pretty damn badass.
I'm a big fan. I don't know. This is funny. The best, we talked about Quinn Ewers in the previous segment, about him falling to the seventh round. Should he have gone back to school? Instead of going pro, the best Ewers meme, this is a text, was, doesn't matter what your favorite Lion King character was, Quinn Ewers' father has them on the wall. Is that Simba? Is that Mufasa? No.
Was there any kind of, because I, you know, I'm not on Twitter much.
Is there any PETA blowback on him?
I got to think that there were people that were irate about Quinn Ewers. There's definitely an article out there somewhere about how this monster, not on my team. They better not draft this guy as they're wolfing down a hamburger, you know.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know. I don't want somebody who actually knows how animals are killed.
Give me the Happy Meal. Someone suggests twisting the gorilla's junk. As Seth pointed out earlier, you need a microscope to find the damn thing. You know,
yeah, like that's where you need the jockey's hand small enough to find it and go after it.
That's right.
That woman that has all these those group things going on the internet. She's accustomed to dealing with.
She's good at that. Sean, can you do the eyeball scooping sound effect again? Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. Yeah. What?
You know what you could do too, because everybody talks and gushes about the gorilla's biting power and how strong their teeth and their bite is. Then you send in the first few people you send in, you load them up with angel dust.
On their arms?
Little PCP.
Okay.
And then, and I know what everybody's thinking, like, no, that's not what you want out of the gorilla, to where he'd feel no pain. At some point he might gouge his own eyeballs out. Let him kind of stay away from him, keep your distance, and let the gorilla go crazy as he's drugged up.
Are bath salts something that you could cover your body in? Is it a consistency that's...
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking of it, the PCP was a really dumb idea, but something like Quaaludes or even Benadryl, you know? Here, banana-flavored Benadryl. Here you go, gorilla.
Yeah.
Yeah, just have a sip. Don't want you to dehydrate. This is just water.
Right. You
get
need
your
liquids.
Fluids.
Yeah, your fluids, exactly. Exactly. Other than gouging eyeballs, how would a human hurt a gorilla? Human hitting or kicking a gorilla would be the equivalent of a mosquito bite.
You disappoint me. I'm kicking you out of the planning session. Yeah. You suffocate him. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
You dogpile him and you suffocate him.
Right.
And yes, you'll lose a few people. So what? You want to lose every... You try to fight him one-to-one, like, oh, nope, I'm going to... all of you will die. You're going to have to lose 10 or 20 people to suffocation, but you dogpile him and he's done for.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Yep.
Why is everybody thinking so conventionally about this fight that we have to fight? Frankly, it's concerning to me.
Yeah.
It's concerning to me that so many of you are so quick to give up and run away when faced with the prospect of 100 of us fighting a gorilla.
Well,
this is so incredibly simple and so achievable, yet so many of you have been beaten about the head and ears by nature documentaries, by Disney movies and what have you, that you just want to bow down to the mighty gorilla.
But Seth, this is what's going to keep you in the upper tier of intelligent human beings. The existence
of those people.
Yeah.
It's why people already have me as the warlord for their chosen warlord.
Thank you.
If society breaks down and that we end up, you know, end up in a post-apocalyptic nightmare.
You're my choice.
By far, yeah. I've got the planning skills and the creativity and the leadership skills to defeat and destroy any and all primates, whether they be gorilla, human, or otherwise.
Zero argument from me, buddy. Zero argument. Would you guys take a flyer on Nick Chubb? Are we still talking about the gorilla
fight? To beat the gorilla?
Are we talking about football?
No, he's going to tear his ACL in 3 seconds versus that gorilla.
Nick Chubb was on that list of 100, but it was Nick Chubb on leg day.
Yeah.
Have you seen the videos of him working out, Nick Chubb?
No.
Dude, you got to go find him. I'll send him to you. He's
impressive,
getting after.
Impressive athlete is has an impressive workout. Cool.
Well, but he's coming off an ACL. I'll send you some of the stuff he's doing. I'm a little disappointed that you're just dismissing.
Why do people talk about ACLs like they're just this big deal anymore? An ACL is not a big deal. Now, the Nick Chubb getting ACLs and other injuries routinely is the big deal.
Yeah.
It's over and over and over again. That's the problem.
He's jumping from a standing position over these hurdles that are, it's very impressive. I know it sounds like you want to dismiss it, but it was enough for me to give him $6 million a year.
I have no doubt that it's impressive.
Yeah.
I don't understand what a workout video has to do with a guy actually staying healthy on a football field.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm just easily sold to. I want to give the guy some money right now. Right now. To fight the gorilla and run the ball for the Texans. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, so we've got crumbs left over from the Pettycast yesterday. We were so damn petty yesterday that we never circled back to Mel Kiper. We never got to put our finishing Stone Cold Stunner on Mel Kiper from his act this weekend. So we're going to do it in the next segment. Mel Kiper says nobody can evaluate quarterbacks. He's right, and nobody would include Mel Kiper. And we've got the proof coming up next.